Now, our weekly look at the issues facing Catholic voters in the upcoming U.S. presidential elections. Today, Emer McCarthy speaks to the director of the Office for Domestic Social Development for U.S. Bishops, Kathy Saley, about the current state of the U.S. healthcare system. Saley says Catholics must speak out in this election and beyond about the need for better health care for all Americans. The health care status quo, she says, is morally unacceptable. Currently, Americans have several options for health care. Many, but not all, U.S. employers offer health care insurance to their employees. Some extend the coverage to their families. Those who can afford them take out private and expensive insurance policies. Government-sponsored insurance programs like Medicare and Medicaid aim to help low-income families and the elderly receive health care. But Saley says many people fall through the cracks in the system.
And currently there are 47 million people in the United States who do not have health care. 9 million of those people are children. And so despite the fact that there are all these other programs out there, there's still a lot of people who don't have access to health care. And in our country right now, we spend $1 of every $6 on health care. So not only do a lot of people not have it, but when we pay for it, we pay a lot for it.
47 million people, 9 million children, those are overwhelming figures. Who are we talking about? We're not really just talking about poor and unemployed here.
Most of them are people who are working or who have someone in their household working. If they're children, you know, they have a parent or someone working, but they are not able to get health care because their employer doesn't offer it. The premiums are too expensive, or their employer doesn't extend it to family coverage. And so it is the poor working class or even middle income, because if you were to buy it on the open market, you're looking at $12,000 to $15,000 a year for a health insurance policy. So that takes a good chunk of money out of a household budget. So if you're living in poverty, there's a good chance you're going to qualify for Medicaid. If you're a child living in poverty or just above the poverty level, there's a good chance you're going to qualify for Medicaid or the State Children's Health Insurance Program, which we call SCHIP. But even that, sometimes people aren't aware that they qualify for those programs, or there's stigma attached to it and they don't want to apply for the program. And even if you do qualify for those programs, not everything is covered. So, for example, there was a young boy whose name I unfortunately cannot remember at this time right now, who lived just outside of Washington, D.C. He was 9 years old, and he had a dental infection, a tooth infection. And he was on the Medicaid program, which does not always qualify for all dental procedures. And it's also difficult to find providers because the Medicaid reimbursements are rather low. And so a lot of doctors and dentists either don't want to or are not able to participate in that program because they just don't get reimbursed enough. And so this little boy's tooth infection began to spread, and there was a social worker and as well as his mother trying to find a dentist who would be able to treat him, and they couldn't find one. Eventually, the infection spread into his brain, and within a couple months, he was dead. So this went from a tooth infection to something that most children, you know, can get treated, you know, easily, regularly, even if there's some out-of-pocket expense. From a tooth infection, this boy is now dead. So these are real life and death situations.
What do you think really needs to be done? What are the issues, what are the areas that need to be reformed and seriously looked at the healthcare system in the United States?
Well, our positions on healthcare reform are firmly rooted in Catholic social teaching. And it's not just in the 2007 Faithful Citizenship document, but it goes back into our strong tradition of Catholic social teaching for hundreds of years, and looking at that healthcare as a human right, as something that every person is entitled to because they're created in the image and likeness of God. But we also have some other Catholic social teaching principles, and one of those is stewardship. And so we have to recognize that we do have, you know, finite resources, and so we have to make wise decisions on how those get allocated. And so, as I mentioned, you know, right now we're spending $1 out of $6 in the United States on health care. We have to look at how are we best spending those dollars? How can we reinvest in prevention and public health? I mean, right now a lot of our dollars, at least in the United States, that are spent on health care are spent treating disease rather than promoting health. And so I think we need to really look at the system, shake it upside down, and, you know, put everything on the table when we start to talk about healthcare reform. So a lot of savings that can be achieved through administration and management and some of those, you know, the paperwork and that kind of thing too, not just the actual delivery of services.
To the best of your knowledge, what percentage of the medical, of the healthcare system in the United States is administration? And you brought up a very, very interesting point there. You said money would be better spent on preventing illness rather than treating disease. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, in the way that we treat our public health problems or preventing public health problems. Right now in the United States, one of our primary public health problems is obesity. And that leads to a whole lot of chronic health issues. What are ways that we can help people remain physically fit so that they don't have to deal with blood pressure and diabetes and heart disease and having those treated? You know, our children are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which is normally adult onset diabetes, much, much earlier than has ever been seen. And so what are ways that we can really help people have healthy lives? How do people, you know, look at their nutrition? And, of course, that gets into other issues of, you know, people being able to, you know, right now with food prices and whatever, how do you afford good, healthy food? So, you know, once you start talking about this, of course, it goes off into other issues as well. For example, how can we be sure that children are living in healthy and safe environments? Many of our low-income housing in the United States, particularly in the urban areas, there's high levels of lead. And so we all know what happens when children are exposed to lead for a long period of time. It leads to developmental delays, other health problems, violence. And so it's not just looking at healthcare, but also looking at some of our other issues that we're dealing with.
We always notice that the healthcare debate is always dragged out into the public arena in the run-up to elections. And then, of course, it always seems to be hidden away once the vote is actually over. What exactly is stopping healthcare reform?
Well, I think the last time our country really tried to make a go of healthcare reform is back in 1993. Of course, that was not very successful, and I think a lot of people just shied away from it for a while. They didn't want to go back into that lines den again. So what's different this time, though, there's much broader consensus throughout all sectors that our healthcare system needs to be reformed. You have large employers, labor unions, advocates, healthcare providers, people on both sides of the political aisle saying, you know, we really need to do something. And so I think that the fact that it is now such a huge percentage of our economy that so many different types of people are saying, yeah, we really need to do something differently. So I just think that there is definitely a different conversation happening. Of course, the devil will be in the details. Not all those people calling for healthcare reform are going to be on the same page or wanting the same things out of a healthcare system. It's going to have to be a bipartisan approach if it's going to work. If we pass a health care reform plan in the Senate, for example, it's not going to be with 51 votes. It's going to have to be with 70 votes to really make it work. There's going to have to be a huge buy-in on this to have something that truly will be reform and that truly can be implemented.
U.S. bishops, when they speak about health care reform, there's something that they do criticize sharply is the fact that in every case, health care is broken down into economic terms. And this is something right. that the U.S. bishops underline, is the fact that they've taken the human out of healthcare.
Absolutely. The central focus of any healthcare reform plan that is put forth that, you know, the bishops would get behind or, you know, be willing to have a conversation about is that it has to recognize the dignity of the human person from the moment of conception until natural death. It has to be full coverage for at all stages of life. And that really is, as you're saying, is really the key, is having that the dignity of the person, the sacredness of life respected and preserved in a healthcare system. And that doesn't mean that you just throw, you know, caution to the wind then and just pay for whatever. You know, they still are very clear about cost containment and controls, equitable financing, stewardship, and also the role that that all the different sectors play in healthcare. So it wouldn't just be, you know, government is the only one who's responsible for healthcare, but also that the private sector and the nonprofit sector plays a key role. Right now, the Catholic Health Association network of hospitals is the largest nonprofit provider of healthcare in the United States, and we still want to be a major player in that, still want to be a provider, but we also have to have our conscience respected in how, you know, what we believe in and how we believe in delivering healthcare.
As Catholics or Christians are heading to the voting booths to cast their vote in the presidential election, what should they be really attentive to in the healthcare debate when they're measuring up the two candidates? Because on the Democrat side, we have Senator Obama and the Democrats who have long been pro a healthcare system that is more attentive to the needs of the poor, the working class and the middle income families, however, who are also pro-abortion, pro-euthanasia. And on the other side, we have the Republicans who are lean more towards the privatized healthcare system, which does prejudice against those who do not earn a lot of money, but who are pro-life, anti-abortion, anti-euthanasia. What do Catholic voters need to be attentive to?
Well, I think what Catholic voters need to be attentive to is not just in looking at casting their vote regarding healthcare, but in their vote in general, is forming their consciences and understanding what the Catholic teaching is, what our moral and ethical values are that we bring to the voting booth, and how that respects the sacredness of life, how that commits to the common good. So whether it's health care or issues of war or issues of the economy, it's not just avoiding evil, but also doing good. And that is one of the key points that the Bishop's document says in forming consciences for faithful citizenship. In looking at how are we respecting the sacredness of life from the moment of conception until natural death and all those stages in between, and what do we do to enhance life, not threaten it.
Kathy Saley is Director of the Office for Domestic Social Development for the U.S. Catholic Bishops.